Couldn't even pass the plates, and if they did, I didn't notice. Because it just didn't seem appropriate, I guess. Scripture is from Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is this child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star in the east and have come to pay him homage." Now when King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. So it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is the shepherd, and who will shepherd my people.' Then Herod secretly called the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen in the east, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." The word of the Lord.
Magi, wise ones, sages, star-gazing astrologists, believers in mystery, practicers of mysticism, seekers of divine revelation. They would have known of the Hebrew scriptures as well as many other sacred texts. We can assume they had heard of the Messiah who was prophesied to come. And when they saw this star, they were moved to go, to see this newborn king that they believe the star foretold. They dared to believe, to risk everything on what they believed the star might mean. And they chose to follow its light, to follow their hopes and their dreams, not knowing what might happen or for sure what they would find. So they set out on their journey. It's a story that allows our imaginations to go wild. We can imagine the smells, the snorts of camels, the creaking of saddles, the shouts of the camel drivers, nights spent camping under star-filled skies or staying in dirty, crowded caravanserais, days of dust and blistering sun, blowing sands, or maybe drenching rain. We can imagine so much, but we really don't know. We don't know where they were from or how long they traveled. This is a story full of mystery, of exotic foreigners who suddenly appeared in Jerusalem, showing up at the palace and asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We've come to worship and honor him." But there was no newborn prince in that palace. So King Herod was greatly troubled. Herod had seized his throne by cunning and trickery and violence, and he held it by fear. He was paranoid about any threats to his power. So strange men showing up talking about a newborn prince threw him into a frenzy, and all Jerusalem trembled when Herod was angry and frightened. Herod consulted the scribes and priests, and learned that Bethlehem, that little village not too far away, was the place where the prophet said the Messiah was to be born. So Herod talked with the Magi and sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Be sure and come right back here and tell me exactly where that child is." He said he wanted to worship him. But of course, he was plotting evil and violence to be sure the child would be killed. But the story says, as the Magi went forth, the star appeared again. The light shone in the sky and led them to Bethlehem until it stood over the house where the baby was. And they were filled with great joy, all their hopes and dreams coming true. They went in and found the child and Mary, his mother. They honored and worshiped him. They gave him their gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, gifts fit for a king, fit gifts for worshiping a god. This is a mysterious story, full of the exotic and the mystical. Some of you may wonder, could it be true? I quote from Marcus Borg, that lovely quote he uses, "I don't know if it happened, but I know that it's true." It's a story we call Epiphany, which means revelation, insight, light breaking in, illumination. The story shows us that from the beginning, Jesus wasn't just for the Jews. Jesus was for all people everywhere, for everyone and anyone who would be willing to follow his light and his life. This story is about God's power at work in unexpected and unlikely places and people, not in the palace, not in Jerusalem, the center of religious and political power, but in little old Bethlehem, the least among the villages of Judah, in a small peasant house with a poor family who had no money, no power, no importance at all. That's where God was working. That's where revelation was happening. There is so much light, so much beauty, so much mystery, so much of God's glory shining through this story. And yet there is such painful, harsh reality in this story too, isn't there? This story is as real as today's news. The Magi, being warned in a dream, did not go back to Herod. They went home by another way. And Joseph, also warned in a dream, got up in the night and took Mary and the child and fled to Egypt as refugees to escape Herod's soldiers who came and killed the innocents. We know something about frightened, jealous, paranoid rulers who don't hesitate to destroy lives to hold on to their power. We know something about families forced to flee as refugees with only what they can carry. We know this story too well. But the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. The Herods of this world can never destroy the goodness, the beauty, the hope, and love that shines forth. There is always light, always a star shining in the sky. We can't always see it. Sometimes we have to journey by faith, believing in the epiphanies we've had in the past, hoping in our dreams, moving forward together. We walk by faith and not by sight. Often, like the Magi, we have to go home by another way because life doesn't go as we expect it or plan it, and the powers and events of this world threaten to undo us. But here in this story, here at this table, we remember and honor and worship that child born in Bethlehem, that child who grew up to be a man, we know as Jesus of Nazareth, a wisdom teacher, a healer, the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior, the light of the world. The poor and outcast and forgotten loved him and followed him. He spoke of God as his Abba and our Abba, our Daddy. He taught that what matters is love. He broke the rules, pushed through the boundaries, loved and ate with all the wrong people. Who he was and what he taught threatened the structures and systems of power and control. And so another Herod, that Herod's son, along with the political and religious powers of Jerusalem and Rome, finally killed him. They thought they'd finally had their way. They thought they had won. But that was not the end. That is never the end. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. The light of the world is still here, still shining, still filling the world with life, with energy, with mercy and beauty and so much love. The light shines for us. The light shines in us and through us. The light of the world leads us onward, revealing to us the places we need to go, the truths we need to live out, and all the many people we need to honor and love. Let your light shine, Jesus said. Arise, shine. Your light has come.